Welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I am joined with Pastor Paul Jordan, who is continuing on in the book of Mark that we started last week. We introduced the series in chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, and then you continued on the series in chapter 1, verses 14 through 34. And so kind of let's talk about the passage. Like I said, we're going to go through the entire narrative of the Gospel of Mark, but we start here in chapter 1.
Sure. The focus was on the kingdom of God is here, and Jesus proclaimed this. It says in verse 14, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So really that's how I did with that passage, just the focus of how do we know that the kingdom of God is here? Jesus has appeared. He's the Messiah, and God's rule, God's kingdom, is here on earth.
Right. So it's a really basic and yet potent message, like, okay, here's this Messiah, this long-awaited Messiah that shows up, and he says, okay, now is the real deal. The reign of God, the rule of God has come, and I'm bringing it. What are some of the evidences that we see? Because I think that's how the rest of the chapter kind of lays itself out, like he starts to demonstrate, you know, healings and those types of things. So, and he gets together a group of guys to follow. So kind of talk us through the rest of the passage, because it's about the kingdom of God and the reign of God showing up. But what are some of those evidences that we saw?
Sure. Well, first of all, he did call his the first disciples. We had Simon and Andrew and James and John. He calls them so that they too will proclaim the gospel. They'll proclaim the message of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And then we see that then he goes out and he frees the captives, where he casts out the demon from the man. So it shows that he has power over Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes on to healing the sick. And so those really are the two main themes, setting the captives free, and then also healing the sick and proclaiming peace to the poor, proclaiming the gospel to the poor would be the first one.
Right. So, and it's interesting because Jesus, you just use the word like proclaiming in that first chapter. He's actually entering into the synagogue. So this is a place where there's like religious authorities and scribes who, I always love the passage where it talks about they were amazed or astonished at his teaching because he taught with one who has authority. My recollection of like kind of scribes and Jewish rabbis of the day, they would always quote, you know, older rabbis or something like that. Their authority was based off of prior knowledge or something like that. They didn't have authority. But Jesus, when he announced the kingdom, he was his own authority, right? And so they're kind of amazed by that. So he's entering into their religious system and saying, look, this is the reign of God and I'm bringing it.
And then to support that, because you're right, all the other rabbis would quote others.
Yeah.
But Jesus basically just stated it, his own opinion. And yeah. I'm sure, I'm in my own mind, I'm thinking he spoke with authority, with a lot of strength. But then to support his teaching, he then cast out the demon.
Right. He's able to back it up. Right. Because I think that was one of your points, too. Yeah. As I looked through the sermon notes, he was actually able to back it up. Because it's one thing to declare.
Right.
You know, but then it's another thing to back it up. And I think you get it later on, too, in the Gospel of Mark, where he announces that the paralytic's sins is forgiven. Well, who can really do that? You know, he's able to back it up because he's actually able to say, get up and rise and walk away.
Sure. Know? And we'll see that next week because that's in the next passage that it's one thing to say something. It's something else then to do something to support it and to back it up.
Yeah. I don't have a bunch of stuff that I wrote down to interact with, but is there anything else that you wanted to bring out from the text that you saw, like whether it was in your study or in the presentation of the message, like, I really want our people to hear this or think about this?
Well, when we talk about him declaring that the kingdom of God is here, he then goes right on to say, how do you enter that kingdom? Mm, and he makes it very clear that it's through repentance and through belief, which is our basic, but it's so important to remind us that that's not only the way into the kingdom, but that's also characteristic of those who live in the kingdom,
right?
Is that we live a life of repentance, turning from living our own way to living God's way, and believing specifically in this case in Jesus Christ, who he is, and then what he did for us.
Okay.
And so that's there. And then we also just, talked about our own response is that we need to experience Christ in our own lives. That's where we experience true freedom. And that's through repentance and believing in the gospel. And then we also emphasized allowing Christ to set us free and to bring healing into our lives, because we have different addictions. We have different problems, mm-hmm. sin in our lives that we need to be freed from. And then ultimately, we need to become a disciple in the sense of believing in Christ and then following after Christ. So I tried to conclude by emphasizing that we need to follow Christ as a disciple, just like he was developing, because that's another theme that we'll be establishing through the book of Mark, will be that what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, where we're going to live like him, and we're going to act like him, and truly be little Christ, and that's what the word Christian means.
Yeah, yeah,
little followers of Christ,
yeah.
And that's what we want to seek to do. And then doing having an impact on people around us.
Right, and I think you emphasize this towards the end of your message too. One of the key verses in the Gospel of Mark is Mark 10:45. You know, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to or did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you kind of really encourage our congregation that we need to be about the rescue mission as well. Like, we need to go tell that good news so that other people can repent and believe and join the kingdom.
Sure. And I think what I was trying to also emphasize was the fact that we want to have a heart just like Jesus did, a heart of compassion and a heart to serve other people. And like you're saying, that key verse in Matthew 10 is that we are to seek to serve others, not expect others to serve us.
Yeah. So you have a huge passage to preach on next week. That's one hard thing about trying to get through the entire Gospel of Mark in a select number of Sundays, even though it's going to go to the next year. But you're preaching on Matthew chapter 1, verses 35 through all of chapter 2, right? And
yes.
So how could we best prepare for this Sunday?
Well, just to read through it several times. And truly, I think every time we open the Scriptures, we ask God to speak to us and to challenge us. So it's not just history. It's really asking God's Spirit to guide us through His Word, to be challenged. And like we mentioned, to be a disciple, to really seek to grow in our own faith and to follow Christ, which also then means that we're going to be involved in service and allow God's truth to truly penetrate our hearts.
Perfect. So we hope that you all read the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we'll see you on Sunday morning.
Sounds good. Thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.